You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
It's John Adams. Napoleon Wilson suggested I do a quick audio on the victims of the Las Vegas shooting who were, well, not victims, the survivors of the shooting who also survived other events. This recent one here is woman 34 survives both Mandalay Bay and San Bernardino shootings. Melissa Castrueda survived both these. And apparently we have two people now in this Las Vegas shooting who were lucky enough to survive two events, because Mike Dempsey, not only did he survive the Las Vegas shooting, but he also survived 9/11. He was in the World Trade Center. Yeah, what a coincidence. And this goes throughout all of these incidences. Survivors of the Paris attacks were also survivors of 9/11, who were survivors of the London attacks. This always happens. Events. It is a calling card. The other thing that seems to happen that Chris has posted articles on at hoaxbusterscall.com is the cell phone saving lives. We had a lady in this Las Vegas shooting who would have took a bullet to the head if it wasn't for her cell phone saving her life. Amazing. Now, that has literally happened in the France shooting. And a bunch of other stuff. Like I said, Chris has an ongoing article posted at hoaxbusterscall.com that catalogs all of these ridiculous ideas that the cell phone can save your life from a shoot bullet. And once again, calling card is this. So we have these survivors who also survive. Another thing I saw Tim Aberato tipped me to was that allegedly a lady survived the Las Vegas shooting. Her home perished in the Santa Rosa fires in California. Yeah, so she survives one tragedy and goes on to, unfortunately, lose her house. Now, I'm saying all this very jokingly and very facetious because this is absolutely ridiculous. I'm sure if you were to do this statistically or scientifically, that the actuaries on this type of stuff is just non-existent. Another thing that I was pointing out, I do believe that they are holding vigils for these people and up for it not too far away from where I live here in the city of Luverne. It's a city very close to the city I live in. They were having vigils for this local girl, Jordan, and Jordan Rivera. It looks to me like she was a real person and had real friends who seem to care about her because they are actually crying, showing emotion, and it seems to me to be real, and I'm sure her alleged death probably impacted them and impacted people that she knew. If you watch the video that I posted on the general thread, you will see that in the Discord, you'll see that she... her parents aren't showing any emotion, and then a man who allegedly knew her for 15 years, Mike Schrader, who also set up her GoFundMe page, he's not showing any. So, very interesting. And then the picture that they chose to remember her by is a picture of Jordan Rivera at Stonehenge while she flashes two devil horns on each hand, which ordinarily maybe wouldn't mean anything. Maybe there's pictures of me when I was younger listening to some heavy metal music and flashing the devil horns at a sign, you know, ironically for fun or something. Or somebody else has those same pictures. not uncommon. But when you choose that picture to remember the person by for the rest of their life, dying, shooting a picture that you're giving to the media to show, is that picture, that's very strange. I'm sure you pictures of when I was young and having fun and joking, it's probably not the picture I'm going to remember myself by. But yeah, that's the picture that they chose to remember this girl by. It's pretty funny. In any case, this stuff is quite hilarious. Don't mind my daughter there. This stuff is getting quite bizarre, and I'm sure there's many more conversations to have about this stuff. Just thought I'd do a quick update because Napoleon suggested it. So, yep. All right. Napoleon, did you have anything to say about this?
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Hello, John. Hi there, Paul. Nice to hear from you. No, I was just in the middle of something. I see you went into the audio chat live stream and I was hoping you were going to wax lyrical about the few bits that you put up there. So instead of going to Fakeologist.com, I clicked in the audio chat live stream hoping to listen anonymously. Or partially anonymously anyway. But yeah. I'm just partway through doing something at the moment, right? So if it's okay with you, I'd like to just mute and listen just for a couple of minutes to get something started.
The problem is with people like you, you don't want to break away from what you're doing to be active and to be a real activist. You need to get started. Okay, you can start by purchasing some seeds. Okay, that's what you
grab a pen.
Whatever it is you're doing, drop it right now. Buy some seeds. Okay, just go to Infowars.com, get some seeds.
Do you know, I've got goosebumps. I have got goosebumps. Yeah, I had no idea what I'd be like. I would fold under questioning. Oh, my God. Yeah, there you go. There's no way in earth I could be an activist. I can't even handle an impression of Alex Jones. Wow, I tell you what, John.
There's just so many people out there, they don't even know what to do. They don't know what to do. They're like a deer in the headlights. Need to get active. First thing you do, I'm telling you, liberating. Just go to my website, buy some seeds.
You bring you something in me. I might just have to take my top off now. I'm going to take my top off live on air. It does help. It really does. Yeah. Oh my God. Whenever you throw that impersonation in, it is a good one. It is a good one. It always helps if you know the lingo and you're keeping up with current events. Trouble is, I listen to Alex Jones like everybody did for a little while here and there. And you go back over the rigmarole. It's almost like watching a Punch and Judy show. So we're going to be back in a minute. And I think it was something you pointed out the other day that he never finishes. It was Ab. He never finishes what he's doing. So we'll be back after the break, folks. So you stay tuned. Infowars.com or Prison Planet. So, here's the drug.
Another one he does all the time is, like, there's actually been callers who've called in, and they'll start challenging him on something, where he'll start saying something interesting, and then he'll purposely stretch it out to the break. I've heard callers actually call in and talk about whether stuff was fake or not. And I'm sure it would sound too weird for him to drop the call, so he'll kind of like stretch it out and then do ad hominem attack against the people. Or else one of the common things is like this, like let's give it a little mock call here. Call in, you ask, hey, Alex, why don't you ever talk about, CGI video fakery on 9/11?
Yeah.
Hey. I've had calls about this stuff for so many years. I've been attacked by the mainstream media for so long that stuff like this doesn't even faze me anymore. I get these people to call in and they're asking me about, planes. The thing is, folks, I had a friend who saw the planes actually hit the towers. Okay? Now this guy's calling in and he's asking me about no planes. Do you realize that I have actually been on CNN with Piers Morgan, that the mainstream media attacks me on a daily basis?
that everything that I do is under a microscope by the New World Order. I mean, they have me in their crosshairs right now, okay? I am the tip of the spear. We are the tip of the spear here. It's all about me, okay? And when I get phone calls in about this, about no planes or, you know, people didn't die or whatever it is, that only brings more attention to my website, okay? Now, we're going to go to break, but after the break, I'll address this more. Hey, $4.95 a month, it's less than the price of coffee. PrisonPlanet.com membership. Make sure you go to the website, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com, today. That's how you do it.
We went round and round the garden then. You got your hand up my skirt, and I still had no idea what's going on. Before you know it, I'm pregnant. Oh, my God, that was brilliant. Yep, exactly. Do you think, well, obviously, it does help if you not, so it's the same schematic as a politician, but this time, because it's Alex Jones or whoever it may be in the alternate media, they're allowed to use the same rhetoric, but they just incorporate different places. So you've got me in the crosshairs, you know, it's the same as what you'd see someone who's a politician going for something on a debate. So like you've got the Trump, and it's perfect. They've had it down for 50 years now. It's that. And that was amazing. I tell you what, John, that you do that well, man. You really do that well. That's too good. You could get work with that voice. That is,
I'm listening to a little bit more Alex Jones because I'm listening to Steve Pachenik's YouTube channel now, and he's on there every day now. Steve is busting open the Las Vegas Vixens a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. Yeah, I remember when he was doing that with, I was still listening to Jones back when he was talking about Sandy Hook being fake. So, yeah, that is an interesting...
They're moving the scale a little bit closer, sliding it closer.
Very, very strange, yeah. Like I was saying, this local girl here, they're making a big deal out of, they had a viewing her at a church here locally, and there's one thing Chris and I were talking about privately yesterday, or maybe the day before, is how very strange it is to have a public viewing of somebody, like, you know, no matter what it is, you know, no matter what the, you know, I use the hypothetical situation of Ab or myself being shot at the local gas station. Are you going to advertise in the newspaper and on the news that there's a public viewing to come down and view the body? You know, it's kind of a weird thing, because that would be like kind of a personal, kind of emotional type thing.
I'd have to wear my hat with my wand for anyone to recognize me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Here lies the fakeologist. What do you think about Prime Minister? Did anyone look at that video with him crying? Can he cry on command, or is that just watery eyes? I don't know.
I watched it. I must admit, I thought he acted quite well, if he was acting. But you can easily, I think you could put things in someone's eye. You know, you can make tears to the eyes with some kind of...
And he ran away right after. He didn't stick around for anyone to have a good look. He turned around and went right back through that big oak door.
Forget that bloke, and he
was tragically hit. That's for sure.
Yeah. The way he said he was part of Canada. Every sort of nook and cranny of this country, his personality oozed into it. it seemed like a script, didn't it? I mean, obviously it was. They always are. But
he was over the top. He was over the top. We do our desk pretty good. I don't think the president came out for Tom Petty. Was arguably bigger.
No, apparently he was a good friend, wasn't he, of him?
Yeah, and I don't...
There's not that... You know, we have an overabundance of over-the-top, worldwide known rock stars, and Canada doesn't have as many of ours, so you got to make a big deal over there.
Yes, tragically, hip never really got past the border towns either. I think the American border towns might have known about him, but I have a feeling John Adams doesn't know about him.
No, I do. Actually, they would be categorized in the U.S. as college rock.
Okay.
Like kind of
you knew about
alternative. Them. Yeah, they're kind of
I have never
same,
I've never seen so much nonsense.
Yeah, I've categorized him in the alternative media or alternative or
yeah. Like, even if the guy did die, I've had enough of him.
Yeah, like they'd be played on a radio station like with REM or the Replacements like back in the 80s or something.
Yeah, fucking brilliant app. Even if he did die, he's had enough. I've had enough. Move on.
I've had enough. I don't like the merging of the politicians and entertainment, even though I know it's the same thing. It really is. We used to be run by cranky old Quebec lawyers. Now we got this GQ man running the place. And he just lost his ass in a trade dispute with Trump. Trump did a brilliant little dipsy doodle of corporations. And all of a sudden, all our government money we put into this plane plant seems to have transferred down to Alabama. So as much as people think Trump's a clown, I think he's probably making at least a few symbolic trade moves to get jobs back into the American blue collar class.
I think you need to do that on the minimum level, because otherwise, if it does get to the point, there's going to have to be a point of prosperity coming up. There must be, you know, there has to be. There's going to be some new industry. I don't know where it's going to come from, or maybe it might be like it's looking like we're all going to end up being interactive with our computer, maybe in 80 years. So I don't know. But if there's not an increase in jobs in America soon, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who are rock bottom and have nowhere else to go. So
or Britain, for that matter.
Oh, definitely, John. Definitely.
Because there comes a point where and I think this happened in the 80s too with Britain and America. I don't know too much about Canada's history during that time period, but the chicanery of the 50s, 60s, and 70s came to a head, and had to have these politicians like Thatcher and Reagan to make everybody believe that there's going to be this prosperous time period and, an age of prosperity that did come in the form of the technological revolution that was coming up. So I think I've speculated about this before, and like you were correctly saying there, sir, is, yeah, there may be a prosperity coming on here.
Well, I think Thatcher and Reagan were there to bash unions. I think that was their primary goal, because they thought the wages were getting too high, I guess, for the working class, the union working class. And they were there mainly just to stand up for corporate America and say, we can't provide cheap products at these high wages. So you either back down or we'll just pack them up and move them out. Didn't Thatcher really get in because of her stand against the coal miners?
A little bit before my time up. I often think of her as like the antithesis to Ronald Reagan, you know, just in viewing. And that is about as far as I've looked into her, apart from a few bits that Sean's told me about where she went to school and stuff like that. But I don't believe she was the daughter of a greengrocer, and you know, she rose through the ranks and stuff like that. I don't believe any of that for a minute. But the name Margaret.
You don't believe she was a son?
No, I still think everything's to do with bloodlines. Or yeah, I know, Freudian slip. I still believe everything's done with bloodlines at certain levels, and especially in them days, she was probably lined up for the job, probably late 60s with the feminist movement. So, you know, it all depends how you look at things, doesn't it? But when you're talking about channeling money there with Trump, remember that once it's been done once, people have had their palms paid with gold, so it's going to happen again. So, you know, there's lots of chicanery goes on, like you say, with money funds and things like that. So it's just a legitimate way of someone getting a bonus, and obviously it will happen again, because everybody bonuses for some reason. Remember, it's not real money, is it? It boils down to it.
Well, Trump was brought in to deliver for the middle class. Yeah. Whether it's true or not.
This looks like he's channeling. Sorry, all I was going to say there, this looks like he's, instead of something going correctly like it should to Canada, now it's coming to the blue working collar American. So, you know, it works in his favor depending on how needy you are, I suppose.
And our prime minister is crying over washed up rock stars, which is just, I don't know. I find it pretty annoying. That's what dominates the news for the day here in Canada. Yesterday's news, anyway. I have to move on now.
I've got a question.
Bring up the next clown show.
Well, there we go. So how far are you through with your work day so far?
Halfway. Two-thirds?
Halfway. So is that, we'll call it 4 hours? No, 6 hours?
Yeah.
Have you heard any news or anything that sounds plausible or real at all, or anything that we've been talking about? Anything that jumps out as being real yet, or, you know, honest?
I don't listen to the news. That's the problem. So I'd have to either... The only thing I've been listening to is the 7-hour Clues Chronicle 23 about do rockets work in a vacuum. And it's more like an audio chat, which I am happy to hear. They don't really go through too much that I can remember. But, yeah, pretty good audio chat with Kay and Simon Shack and Hoi Polloi.
Oh, that's marvelous. I had no idea.
Are you not reading the blog again, Denny?
No, I read the blog, sir, but literally I read it 10 minutes ago when I got in.
All right.
I got 6 hours. I'm 6 hours into that, Ahoy and Simon and Kay. I remember saying...
Did you see the YouTube I posted with that guy debunking the idea that rockets don't work in space?
I seen that. We were talking about plasma coils and the project. Yeah, I seen that, John.
No, I didn't see that.
There was a simple comment left on that. Part on that audio, wasn't there, Tim, that you addressed? It might be a false premise in the first place that there's a vacuum in space anyway, and therefore you.
Yes, how can we verify that? Yes, that's exactly right.
I thought even
based off of the premise that there is a vacuum in space. I think I saw this a long time ago, I was talking about Chris with this because I sent him that same video that I posted in there. And I saw this a long time ago on Clues Forum.
Yeah.
And it was talking about free expansion. And free expansion negates new third law used in the vacuum. It's the idea that there is no pressure to even be able to engage.
The third law. Yeah. Explain it with a balloon for argument's sake. Well, a balloon. Yeah, go on, John. Makes more sense.
No, I was just saying, there's no pressure in a vacuum to be able I can't explain it good. I'm not articulating. It's just you can't even engage the not the ignition, but the pressure that is needed to be able to fire the rocket. So because it's free, it's free expansion, meaning that. Whereas something like in an atmosphere, it would have something to project off of, but it's not even that the rocket would have anything to push off of. It's that there wouldn't be anything to even internalize the pressure inside of the rocket to make it even start.
it's very weird. But when you see with diagrams with the arrows and the way NASA explains how the rocket does work by everything pressure in and leaving at the same point, hence creating thrust. When you actually incorporate a vacuum, it all goes haywire. And it's brilliant, but the same equation or the same theory works with the space helmets. Because if you was to put them space helmets under a pressurized, well, let's just say underwater, you know, really, really deep, they would collapse. And it'd be the same with the outward thrust on the glass if you were in a vacuum. So the fact that these fellas are floating around in space with, you know, thinking their helmet is not going to explode, that is the equivalent of having the entire universe on your shield, your helmet. If it was water, it's the same. It's the same pressures, but just outwardly. There's no difference. Cheers, NASA. I tell you what, though, they're making me more intelligent. I'm understanding a lot more of these laws that they're breaking.
I never thought myself very intelligent on those sort of questions at all, layman point of view. But the thing with we just had a little flat earth outburst, didn't we, in the chat. But I never had it explained to me ships disappearing over the horizon, as far as I know, it's still used in textbooks as an example of this is how we know the Earth is round, because they disappear from the bottom up. But this is clearly debunked when you put a stronger telescope to your eye and it returns to vision, full sight. It's simple. This is the laws of perspective that were already known. So, do you know what I mean? How can it have disappeared over the edge if you can then see it with a stronger lens?
I know.
Paul. No. So what? It wasn't proof of a flat Earth, was it? It couldn't be. It doesn't prove a ball. It's proof of the ball, but it wasn't proof of flat either.
Do you know, I've never gone back and examined where it actually came from.
Aristotle, apparently.
Is that where?
Still quoted. People like, what's his name? That English knob who does all the science.
Oh, Brian Cox.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, he'll still quote that as one of the examples. You know, it's, hold on. I thought that seems so simple. You know, that.
Well, here we go. Before we stop it there. Who's the only other Aristotle you know?
Yeah, it was Athanasius.
Yeah, so there we go. Right, so straight away I'm going to call that into questioning. Okay, sorry, go on, carry on then.
I mean, obviously, Aristotle's just a sort of, I don't know, is that many things can be attributed to these characters, these heroes, these gods of science.
Yes, I suppose. No, you're correct, though. You know, 3 miles, maybe that was just thrown in there, you know. Because that was as far. I mean, obviously they did know lighthouses worked. You know, that was a taken, a given, should I say. People knew lighthouses worked, and I mean, obviously there's different witness statements saying they worked on, you know, so far, but nevertheless, it's still lighthouses, so we know it's not 3 mile. And I think a lot of seafaring people probably would say, you know, no, we could see, you know, just like people who live on the coast can see ships 12, 13 mile away. So, I don't know. I mean, you've only got to look at Suez Canal. You can see ships up that, you know, one lock to another 3 mile. You can see them to the next lock, and that's 3 mile. And then the next lock, I think you can get up to about 18 mile before, you know, they blur out of existence. So, there's a lot more questions to ask here. But, unfortunately, they've been encompassed and answered with gravity a while back. And I don't think that's cutting the mustard anymore. But maybe it's done on purpose, like I suspect. So, you know, let's see. Nevertheless, it is intriguing.
Yeah, I thought that was a fair point to sort of say, well, if, yeah, I don't know, that whole argument, do rockets work in a vacuum? I'll have to hunt out that video John said he posted it, debunked it.
It is good. It shows plasma coil and a few other bits. But basically, if it was, you'd still need to incorporate one law, and then that's cancelling out another law that you're meant to be using at the same time, which is... is really good. Remember, I'm not a scientist, so I'm sorry. Although I did like your model earlier.
The other point that Chris made was all of these tests take place in a controlled environment. So even the vacuum that you're testing these things in is a controlled. It's a man-made controlled vacuum. How that applies to the vacuum of alleged vacuum of space wouldn't technically, hypothetically, operate in the same way that a controlled vacuum would.
Probably not. No.
Yeah.
No,
I think Simon's and Hoy's point was, is if you had gas in a tank and you wanted to open the valve up to let the gas out and ignite it, because space is an infinite vacuum, that gas would fly out before you could even light it. It was really hard to get to the core issue of what they were talking about. Yeah, it would free expand so fast that you wouldn't even be able to light the damn thing. And down here, gas maybe doesn't escape the tank very quickly, or it can be ignited and blow up, as in any normal engine down here on Earth. But when
we have
air pressure
in any house. Obviously, as in any house, that can happen. Is just gas fills up the house and the house explodes into splinters, obviously, right?
Yes, yes. I haven't been doing too much exploding houses lately, but yeah, I know what you're trying to get at.
I'm being sarcastic for all the China listeners.
No, I know. But what did you guys think of, do you think Simon should share his views so we can help him, or what do you make of this slow release of his theory?
I'm the only one that's not muted. I almost feel obliged to bring forth a comment. All right. My whole vibe of it is it all feels a bit like keep us hanging on. Oh, I've done this great work, you know, sort of furrowed brows and this great master brain. He's taking ages to come up with this new. It all feels a bit, not really buying it. I'm sorry. I mean, as I say, I have gained massive benefit from reading Clues Forum. Let me give that a big shout out. But this gets to the point where I think I'm in a world of disinformation and I just have to sort of filter out the things that help me go forward with my thinking. And so I'm not buying that at this point. Interested in the conversation intellectually, just sort of, you know, it's a thought process, thought exercise. But, you know, how does Simon know? You know, is he really, you know, he's got this, is it really going to be the answer? I don't know. You know, what's he basing his on? Because as far as I can tell, most of it's bullshit anyway. You know, vacuums in space and do we know? And I don't know, pass. That's my blurry answer.
That's a wonderful answer, Tom. At least you were speaking from the heart, mate. That's all you can do. Have you ever made any crazy observations where you thought, oh, that doesn't make sense? Because the one that always haunts me is the moon's spin. Now, we always see the same side of the moon. And that really gets me. I've never explained properly. And since investigating the moon, I've obviously worked out a few different things since then. We'll save that for another audio when I can get my thoughts together. But yeah, just the moon's spin. And obviously that incorporates bringing in music, Pink Floyd, and the lyrics we've been fed. You know, we're just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. You know, we really love to watch them roll. Because I think the paradigm shift has been put in our head for a while. Anyway, I'll leave it there.
I mean, all the luminaries do look like balls, don't they? And lots of things in nature sort of form a spherical shape. And I actually kind of half live between the two. You know, I don't know anything. I don't know anything particularly on about the cosmology, really. But certainly enough in there to give me big questions, huge questions.
I do like
the tenet of intelligence, isn't it, of science, the ball earth. It's almost like... And it's been so well stigmatized, the idea of flat Earth.
Well, the thing about the cosmos with me is, I always think back to you've got the Dark Ages when nothing was happening, nothing was going on. Well, I'll tell you what, the sky was still turning at that time. And if the control mechanism which was in place was taking note of what was going on in the sky at that time, then over a number of years, I don't know how many years, I suppose the Dark Ages were, they weren't able to work out different ways of explaining it. And I do believe that that's where we're up to now. All they do is explain stuff that they've witnessed for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And that's literally where I'm up to. I believe we've been studied by the people in charge, not by any alien force or anything like that, but by the people in charge. They've been around for a long, long time. And I do believe they could predict earthquakes and, you know, meteors and different things in the sky, but that's only through seeing them in the past. I don't believe that's because of science, not at all.
I think with lots of the things we've come to understand, that the controllers have always seeked to, you know, set the paradigm. That if they can put into our heads, they can tell us where we live and define our environment, that to their advantage, then that's exactly what they would have done.
Oh, of course it is, because a do not enter sign would be too obvious. We need these mental blocks, and these mental blocks are just putting our way throughout our life. Whether it's, you know, I'm not going into them, whatever they are, but these mental blocks are there. A lot of the time it's to do with sexuality and music, and obviously they incorporate whatever colour your skin might happen to be and where you're born and how much your parents are in. But these blocks are being put there, and they're not blocks particularly on you. They're blocks to stop you thinking a certain way, and that's all I believe. Everything is. It's almost like we're just getting segmented. you know, being put into our own little box.
The most simple one, I think, is the idea of this infinite space, and it makes you feel small, doesn't it? What a good idea to make us all feel small and powerless and disempowered, rather than, you know, to be inspired, perhaps, that we might be if we knew the true story.
No, well, definitely. I mean, obviously, there's rock stars out there who know that, you know, they get people coming up to them and say, "You've inspired me," and they must get a really big thrill from that. So how would it feel for everybody on the planet to get that kind of buzz, knowing that they are special? I just mean on the basic level. I'm not talking about hitting it right in a one-hit wonder or even getting the adulation of people around you. I'm just talking about just on the basic level, like you say, you take away the universe, take away the space, which is fake, and which can pretty much be proven to be fake, especially for the past 150 years of film and literature. So you take all that away, and we're left with the same question that we were asking 150, 160 years ago. And that's why are we here? What are we? And that in itself is empowering.
We'll see what you can go confirm in the evolutionists and the atheists, the dogmatic atheists who ran the 20th century and the last half of the 19th century, is the plan was part of the evolutionary perspective. Someone like Bertrand Russell will say this in his books, is it's not only going to be, you see, it's not that people are actually going to get smarter, it's that the majority of people are going to get dumber, which will make the academic person not only appear super smart, but feel smart as well, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's smart thinking.
So there's a dumbing down process. It's a dumbing down not only of values and ideas, but it's a dumbing down in general, whether it's the dumbing down of entertainment or music and arts and all that type of stuff, to where you get, and then the dumbness becomes a virtue, right? So it becomes a virtue, and that's what you see with most people, unfortunately. And I'm not saying this in a fashion to where I'm saying, oh, people are stupid sheeple and they're dumb. It's like, no, it's not their fault. They've been tricked into it. They've been dumbed down on purpose. You see, being dumb becomes a virtue. Being smart becomes ridiculous or idiotic, or you become a conspiracy theorist, right? If you're asking questions, you don't want to ask too many questions. Definitely don't ask any questions while any football game's on, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's football across the pond or football here, it's, you know, same. You don't want to asking questions is dumb.
Yeah.
so we've gotten to a point literally to where everything is the reverse. You know, if it's like, you know, just the example of the arts, it's realist painting is dumb. It's only cool and if something's provocative or abstract. Full, you know, fully blown abstract, fully blown nonsensical.
Yes, modern art was something that got people thinking, you know, to think that you were clever, you had to sort of identify as beautiful. You're staring at this chair or something, which is supposed to be like this great work of art, and you get all these people standing around going, oh, yes, this is a wonderful thing. It opens up our horizons. And really, it's... It is pretty dumb, simple.
And we also got the language involved with that as well. Oh, thought provoking, very abstract. You know, all these words that invoke you inventing something new in your head. So you're looking at something and then inventing something new in your head that you're really looking at. How about that for the Emperor's New Clothes? You show a piece of dog shit on the ground and get someone who's intelligent say, no, this invokes da 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 da. You're telling me that's not Danny Kaye saying, look at the king. Yeah, I mean, this is doublespeak at its best. The most amazing thing is the way that modern art and people were pushed by it. I mean, obviously, there's different films out there, but I suggest anybody go in and watch F is for Fake. With Orson Welles, it's on Delcroix's channel there. So if you can pay him
an Napoleon, Orson Welles, move the guy in the lobby into the live stream for me if you don't mind.
Certainly, my mate. Anyway, John, sorry, I'm going to be quiet there. But if it's a fake, I'd recommend that to anybody.
So what's Alex Jones been saying then, Tim? Good old Alex, I haven't listened to him for years.
Oh, I think he was saying that he has a former State Department psychiatrist, deep state cover agent, Steve Pachenik, on. Steve Pachenik is saying that Las Vegas was a hoax. Nobody died.
Yeah, so that's a new turn for the... It hasn't been going. We were talking about it the other day that the...
Listen, Tom, nobody died at Sandy Hook, okay? See, I can't get people in the mainstream media to pay attention to me if I go out and say that. So I can't go out on Megyn Kelly and talk about how Sandy Hook's a hoax because then people are going to think I'm a crazy kook. I've got to get them in to listening to my show first. Then I can talk about things being a hoax. You understand?
You sound like a mafia union rep that I can't tell them what you say. What at the moment? No. You do so. It sounds brilliant.
But yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, you sound like Alex Jones on Mogadon, but that was well put. Thank you. Yes, I mean, that's clarity on it. That's what it is. It's the evolving alternative. And he has to bring in some of it. Otherwise, he's not going to look credible in this. After Sandy Hook, everyone was like, well, come on, this is bullshit. They didn't kill those kids. You know, this is made up. So it started changing around then. I sort of started sensing.
Do you know what you just reminded me there, John? And I know you've seen it. Have you? I'm going out on a limb. Do you remember that film Gung Ho, Michael Keaton?
Yes, the Japanese were going to come and take over everything.
Yes, and do you remember he ended up being a rep from one of the companies to the one he was working for? And he's like, look, we're going to get the raise, but we're going to go for this many cars. And they said, well, what about if we fall short? He said, well, don't worry, we're going to make it. But that's exactly what it is. It's brilliant, and we've seen it in films. Said, don't worry, because people trust Alex Jones, and believe it or not, people do trust Alex Jones. You know, he's been proven right probably more times than he's been proven wrong, and even subconsciously, that actually sticks in you. Well, it sticks in your craw if you're listening to what he says. But predicting and being right, I suppose, is a different thing. Sorry, I interjected there. One time you were saying it's a hoax now, so where are we up to? So what happens now?
It's just that the evolving mainstream alternative was that little point, wasn't it? The Alex Jones. It's what he doesn't tell you and what he provokes. You just got to separate the wheat from the chaff and understand the dynamic of the game that's been played on us, I suppose, isn't it? People, but there is some always a little bit. There's some truth, there's some good information in various places, isn't there? Still, even in some mainstream sources and in some sort of sites which you could say were controlled, you can still gain a bit of insight and open your mind a bit by going to these. You know.
Well, I mean, it's a fine art reading between the lines, anyway. And obviously, some people are good at it, some people aren't. I mean. The internet's a wonderful thing, but nevertheless, whenever you go looking for something, you're looking for, it's confirmation bias. You actually, what you're looking for. So, I suppose there's someone out there who's equally as compelling as Alex Jones saying, well, not compelling, probably sexy and everything. Or maybe there isn't. Maybe the narrative we're heading down. I don't know, but I have stopped watching him because he was like a drug. And I mean, he was addictive, which can't be a good thing.
He's a lunatic. I mean, do you remember the way he used to rant? He probably still does, but he used to go absolutely insane. Ludicrous. Ludicrous. But, I suppose, of course, that was what he was there to do. Mm-hmm. You see, at the start of the internet, when the internet's streaming.
Listen, I'm doing what I have to do, do you understand, to keep this republic together. The republic is together because of me. Do you understand? People like me, tip of the spear, Jesse Ventura, Rush Limbaugh. We are the real freedom fighters. We're the tip of the spear. I have to get crazy because I have to make people understand. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand.
Oh, God. Changing the subject totally. Boethius said, Boethius, who was apparently the first person to post about the rocket's not working in a vacuum. That was apparently his original research. He said he'd been interviewed by the BBC and by Michael Moore, and they told him to keep his... He was left with the impression that he had to keep his mouth shut. I thought that was quite interesting. So I asked him,
What was his name?
Boethius. He's the one who originally posted the rockets work in a vacuum question on Clues Forum. And he's just been commenting on Ab's site on his page there, a couple of comments.
Sounds like a tranny to me.
Stop it.
I'm kidding. I was trying to wait on every subject. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, no, Boethius, yeah, definitely, man. There's a lot of questions, but unfortunately, well, you know, they don't have to answer them if you can put an astronaut up there with, you know, a space sword, or, you know, you can get an astronaut, first lady in space, you know, there's all these different things. This is what I always say, this, you can go back, they probably can get away with all this as an artistic license, you know, they really can. You know, America's a company. You know, it's not a country. I know it sounds weird. It's legal, basically, anyway.
Yeah, it is a corporation of the British Crown. Always has been.
Yeah. So, you know, they're probably allowed. They're classed as workers, aren't they? Citizens. So, you know, basically, this is just a keeping up the team spirit.
Yeah, very interesting. There's been some interesting parallels. I noticed this with the oncoming. The hurricane in Hurricane Harvey before it hit Florida, they say it's the worst one since 61. And then before the hurricane hit here on the west coast of Ireland last week, Hurricane Ophelia, they said the worst since 1961. Now, I don't know if I'm being stupid here, and actually, you know, it's logical that it's the same weather system or something. I don't know, but then there was the Manchester attack at the concert, and then the Mandalay Hotel shooting into the concert. Definite parallels there. Yes, a corporation of the crown, and the queen is getting it. It's nearly succession time as well, so probably getting. Would be interesting to see if these sort of these powers I've noticed continue near the end of this current reign of our dear queen,
or just the pure coincidence that right before the Mandalay Bay shooting, Boris Johnson is reciting the Kipling poem in Burma. Road to Mandalay, and the press is making a big deal out of this.
Oh, have they picked up on it and saying it's a coincidence?
No, nobody's pointing that out as a coincidence. It was just a news at the time of that the shooting happened. It was a big thing in the paper, you know, with headlines that he's reciting the Road to Mandalay.
Oh, right.
And then the day after, it's like Mandalay Bay shooting. It's bizarre. Not that Boris Johnson is in on it or anything, but maybe he was coaxed into doing that on purpose. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. There's been an interesting... He was talking in the party the other day about a lion. There's been lion referencing this these last few months. I don't know exactly what that means, but he was saying he's ready to roar like a lion. And yeah, he'll just be probably a dupe as much as the rest of him, just reading from script. He went to Eton with a friend of mine, actually. And you just reminded me, I better ring him. I've got to ring him. But, yeah, he was a year below him or something. Boris. Sure, it's script half the time, isn't it? And they don't know what's going on. Wouldn't be sent practical for them to, they can't know everything. Keep reading from the script and towing the line.
Yeah, the headlines were that it was inappropriate for him to be reciting Kipling while he's meeting with this, what's Burma now? Myanmar. He was meeting with some representative or something, and he's just standing reciting the Kipling poem, and for no reason whatsoever. And then his aide tells him, "I don't think that's appropriate," and it became splashed across the news. Just the shooting in Mandalay. I think there are things kind of orchestrated in that way. I can't think of another instance offhand, but. Well, perfect example would be that Hurricane Sandy, and happened right around the same time as Sandy Hook. The correlation between naming the hurricanes.
Hi, John.
flat. That's got that tune to E flat or something. Love it.
Yeah, you have to tune to E flat to play Thin Lizzy.
You know, I knew that. I knew that because I'm a Hostbusters girl fan. Yeah, but I knew that. I didn't know you were in E flat. I just knew why you had to tune to E flat.
Oh, I was just trying to sound clever. I don't know. It was E flat. I think it might be close. But...
Brilliant. I'm chuffed with that. So.
Yeah, if a hard rock band knows how to get a meatier sound out of a recording, they always tune to E flat to get like a beefier tone. And I noticed that when I would try to play along with Thin Lizzy records, I was like, is my guitar like, what's wrong here? It never lined up. And then I realized, oh, they'd drop down half.
Yeah.
And same thing. Like when I was a kid, same thing with trying to learn like a Guns N' Roses song. They always drop down to E flat too.
Yeah, I think I seem to remember hearing that the Velvet Underground did that, the same thing. Oh.
They just didn't tune at all.
Not a fan? You're not a fan. I like them, I must admit.
Oh, I have a first pressing of White Light, White Heat right here on the record shelf.
Oh, well, good man, yeah. The way that's...
They're not my favorite thing in the world. Actually, the only...
Waldo Jeffries, straight through Waldo Jeffries' head. Sorry.
All right, that's your John Cale impression?
Bad one.
That was good. That, you know what? That song is, you know, it's, you know, obviously it's not really a song, it's a poem or whatever, but, man, does that have the grooviest bass line?
Yeah, yeah, I love it. What? I can't remember it now, yeah. Waldo Jeffries, you know, earlier. Yeah, it's a classic. I mean, they were an interesting band, weren't they? Because obviously their alignment with Andy Warhol in the factory was presumably a sort of culture creation factory. It seems clear now.
Yeah. We did a whole thing on them on like the first or the second punk rock exposed, where we went through all of their interesting connections to the art world and to the occult. I didn't know this, but the guy who was doing research at the time, Nino, he had dug up Lou Reed's affiliation with theosophical circles and things like that.
Oh, right. Interesting. I've just been reading Alan McGee, the Creation Records guy, and Oasis is probably the most famous act. But so little signs early on in the book, you know, my father was a Mason. You know, he'd go to the Masons, he was a committed Mason. And then there's little indicators, there's members of the military, the connections to military, My Bloody Valentine, lead singer of House of Love, the Libertines, what's that guy? Yeah, they're all got... Military families, again, the same deal. And I'm good friends with the guy from Cream of the Wave.
That's the guitar part to the Velvet Underground song.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, that's nice, yeah, yeah.
The hits.
That's a bit of class.
Keep on coming.
They were great songs, I think.
That song's called The Gift.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, the songs like, I loved some of that stuff. It was different.
You like my... What do you like? My Bloody Valentine?
It's not.
Shoegazer.
You don't want a Bloody Valentine for a first date anyway. I mean, you want to go all the way on a first date.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. They are interesting. I will give them that. I remember listening to it. I think I have that first record somewhere. Never listened to it, but I used to listen to it. It's interesting stuff. Definitely game-changing stuff. So to find out that they're connected to military families wouldn't be out of the ordinary, since the game changers usually seem to...
Yeah, John. Yeah, John, you'll love this. I got a mate called Mike. Best mate. been mate since I was 10, and his cousin's Joel Strummer. And I loved the show, and I made him listen to it, and he went, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So he was just like going, yeah, everything's there. He goes, I don't know about the connotations involved, because obviously he's not, well, he is partially like a fake religious, but he's not totally. He's only, third hand of me. But nevertheless, it made me laugh, because I always ask him about his family. It's not a separated family. It's just like there's a branch of a family in a different city, which is London. And that's sort of the round the neck of the woods, but he's sort of a cousin of an uncle sort of thing. And he used to head down there at an early age.
By the river?
Yeah, I think he does, yeah, exactly. By the river. Yeah. I'm not sure where the main...
Pun intended, by the way. If anybody,
oh, definitely, definitely.
Pun intended for anybody who will catch that reference there.
I'm sure they will. Do you know what's funny, though? I actually bumped into Joel Strummer on a totally different basis to Glastonbury. And I shared a pint with him, which was nice, years and years ago. So, two different things there. But it took me a while, someone had to tell me, because obviously people change, don't they?
I'm personally friends with all of Katrina and the Waves. And my main friend is... everyone kneel and
you're
bow.
You're listening to another hour of
Fakeologist.com. Take it. I do apologize.
Tom, that is the perfect pop song, though. I've said this to you. That is the perfect pop song.
Walking on Sunshine. Great song.
Yeah. And Kimberly Rue, who's my mate, he was in a band called the Soft Boys before, who I really like as well. But Kimberly went to Cambridge University and was good mates there with a guy called Alex Cooper. And a great drummer. Alex is a great drummer. They went on to form Katrina and the Waves with two military kids from the bases here, the military base. Two Americans, Katrina and Vince on bass, and Katrina ended up singing. And Alex's father, I believe, is an admiral. And years later, it all sort of comes together. Some years ago, Alex asked me to come and sing on a tribute song to the people who died in the Marchioness tragedy, which was a boating tragedy which happened on the River Thames in about 1989. And years and years later, I finally just outed that as a psyop and realised I'd actually been involved in doing this tribute song to it that we recorded. How funny.
How about this?
So, it's one
of the Katrina and the Waves. Is that the waves of the water in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina?
Yeah, I think that's it.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah, that's almost like, free association rather than... Yeah. But
totally kidding on that front.
Sure. James, being from the start set out to be... to get into our heads, I thought U2 might be, because that's a spy plane, isn't it?
U2. I think they admit that they named it after that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain that they do admit that they named it after the U2 spy plane.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons U2 aspired to where they are now is because of Delacroix pushing them for so long as a teenager. You got everyone behind it, and that was it. They took off from there. He's admitted to this. So the reason we got Bono walking around wearing sunglasses is Delacroix's fault.
I'll tell you why they took off in America, because they placated to the Christian community in America. They were very ambiguous about their belief, yet they really, came. I mean, I was much younger, but I was allowed to listen to U2 when I was a kid, because they had everybody who was Christian convinced they were Christian. They were a Christian band.
Yeah, that helped break America, didn't it?
Oh, it was totally phenomenal. Especially, they would ambiguously name their songs, so it's like Where the Streets Have No Name. Everybody's thinking, oh, that's the reference to the Bible, right? And so there's a lot of ambiguity with their songs to where they could be determined this way or that. I remember, this is totally true, because Americans have no concept of, what Sunday, Bloody Sunday is actually about with the
in Ireland, people actually thought Sunday Bloody Sunday was about the day Jesus died on the cross. I'm not kidding.
Oh, that's bad. That's really bad, that.
Myself included, when I was a kid, that's what you were kind of like told by other people. And I, you know, me that at that young of age, I didn't know anything about Ireland. So it's like, oh yeah.
Well, did you know there was no Jews in the Twin Towers, John? When they fell, there was no Jews at all in the Twin Towers. They could tell that by the DNA. I can't believe that.
Now, Tom,
that's
that,
really bad.
Napoleon, that is that's a logical fallacy, you know, right? Because there weren't anybody in the Twin Towers.
Oh, God, yes. Silly me, yes.
That the bloke that designed them, who died on that day, who said it went through, you could pierce them like a... I didn't know, wasn't he? One of the designers, I remember that being one of Alex Jones's favourites.
Oh, baby's awake, gents. Gotta go. Talk to you guys later.
Oh, that's a nice thought. Having a baby. How exciting that is. Nonsense around, but yeah, simple things in life. Joyful. Joyful.
Yeah, sorry, John. Take care, pal. There's a loving father looking after his progeny there. So we've got in chat, we've got Fakeologist is there, muted, still listening. John Adams, obviously, taking care of someone. Not So Freemason, muted, listening. And Tom there, not muted. And Tom, put it away.
That's the one. What's your name?
Come on.
Can you see me?
I could see what you were fiddling with there, Paul. Yeah, yeah. As soon as he said E-flat, you were off. The one thing I was going to say there is, what's the band that got you to... It's just like experiment with music. You know, you've got the usual run of the mill stuff.
The aforementioned.
I just wanted to see what weird band it was.
I mean, the aforementioned Velvet Underground were profound to me.
My friend says to me that's like heroin.
Well, they've got a song called Heroin, and perhaps it is. You know, it did have that sort of effect to me. I was certainly.
That's the one that's in. Is it in Pulp Fiction?
One Key.
One of them, like, anyway. But yes, Lou Reed singing Heroin.
It may well be, I can't remember. I know Perfect Days in Pulp Fiction. That's a Lou Reed song, but.
I do like that song, Heroin. That is the only one I was familiar with, actually. My life. She's my wife.
Oh, no,
when a spike goes in my vein, and I tell you things I ain't quite the same. And I guess, but I just don't know. It's a tune. It really is a tune.
Yeah, I think it's virtually all in one key as well. It's
The beginning of it's amazing. I remember, like I say, it was probably around about. Oh no, do you know? I think it was in Trainspotting.
That's what I thought you meant, actually. Weirdly, and Perfect Day isn't in Pulp Fiction. It's in Trainspotting.
Yeah, so I think it is in Trainspotting. But yeah, it's a fucking marvelous song, that, mate.
Yeah, well, that was one of the bands. And if you, yeah, no, clever. They're, but they're good. Despite the fact that we can see that it's they were.
I know, but I mean, what would we have had in the main? Yeah, it would just have a mishmash of old folk singers. Now we'd probably have three or four thousand folk singers that were all good and people arguing over them.
Yeah.
So at least this way it is refined. Trouble is the people at the top. They are being guided a little bit, aren't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. Lou Reed defines New York to me. You know, it's the East Coast. You know, and then you had the hippie stuff on the West Coast, and then I'll have to revisit that John's episode where they looked into it on Hoax Busters.
Well, this is what I meant to say to John. Do you remember that episode of Hoax Busters where they were examining the Dust Bowl? Or basically, they just diverted and talked about the Dust Bowl for about 10 or 15 minutes and heard of them at some, you know, marvellous points. I'd love that to be readdressed. You know, on 60 acres and a sack or whatever it may be. All in different things. That was mental. And just listening to that, it itself was a lesson in American history.
Yeah, a proper one, from nearer to a real one. Yeah, no.
Especially what came from it.
But I've got company just arriving. So while talking of brother, did we get Anti-Communist League in? Did he just, he turned up in the lobby and did you try and get him in?
I think Ab's disposing of the body as we speak. No, I don't know, honestly. I'm unsure.
It just pops in and pops out. I just wondered. All right, mate. Well, as I say, I've got someone just arriving, so I've got to go.
Take care, pal. Love you.
Yeah, cheers, mate. See you later.
Yeah, I guess he did. Hi, Tom. See you later. I guess Communist League didn't get his audio going.
Ah, well, never mind. It's nice that you get new people coming in.
Did you see that? I just posted a link in the General Unverified. Someone said they found their grandfather's Masonic manual. I never saw that before with the different degrees. Have you ever seen that?
No, I've never looked. How many are we up to now?
Well, it's 32 degrees, but I don't know if it's real or not. But take a look at it. See if you can see it. I put it in the unverified area.
I know. I'm in there, but I don't want to click on it because then my voice goes all crazy and I start having problems. That's
well, you then just talk. Then click on it and don't talk.
Oh, okay. I should unmute. Yeah, just paid that couple of seconds look up. That's a kid's toy. That's something a Mason gives to his son by the time he's 13 or something like that. You know, who's in there? What was that? What's the child's version of the Masons? It's French name. Anyway, it'll come back to me.
You don't think that's the real deal? Yeah.
No, it probably is, but it looks like it's from a Mason to his son, you know, at the age of 13, 14 or something. You've got a wooden sword on one side as well, on one side of the emblem. But it looks like a novelty artifact for, you know, somewhere along the line. But
be right.
You know, just first impressions, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, we know that goes on. It is a lineage thing as well.
Did you listen to the Cruise Chronicle 23?
I have no idea. When did it go? When did it go on?
Oh, 2 days ago. It's not in their feed. Their feed isn't working right. So.
No, I went looking for the latest Hoaxbusters. That wasn't there, so I abandoned ship and found myself a normal podcast for the next day. So, yeah, that will be the next thing I'm listening to. And wonderful to hear from Simon. Did anything jump out of you?
Yeah, Simon's sounding good. After he came on my broadcast with his bad Wi-Fi, it looks like he plugged in his audio and he sounded pretty good.
Oh, you're relentless, aren't you? You're brilliant. I love you, man. I love the way you don't let up at all. You had the quality and control of Fakeologist as well as... backstage hand and main, what's the word, concierge. You're brilliant.
Yeah,
you are brilliant. Well, you know, you do. You don't try, you do. So did anything jump out at you?
No, not really. It was quite long, quite extensive, and it went by pretty quickly. I played that one at 1.5 speed. I played that at the fast speed. But, it was mostly Hoy and mostly... Simon and a little bit of Kay, but mostly Hawaii talking to Simon.
He's still using gravity.
Well, I think he just leaves gravity in his equations of his particular model. He doesn't want to blow up every theory in his new model. He wouldn't tell us what his model was, but.
Well, I mean, there's been many explanations on gravity and how particles react with each other. There's a gentleman called Maurice Cottrell who's got a more compelling argument. So if anyone wants to contact or go through what he has to say, I mean, that's definitely more compelling. And that's better than Newton. But that's a recent... I mean, that's these classes are not. But, you know, I don't know what people are... What you know, what is true and what's not. The trouble is I have problems with gravity when they start incorporating the moon. The tides and, you know, definite things we can observe as wrong. So I think the moon's the one to start off with. We can identify what the moon is and then everything else should fall into place pretty much after that. And apart from it being a light in the sky, Sean, sorry, the light in the sky so far, mate. I tell you what, though, it would be funny, though, because if everything is as fixed as it is, and landing on it should cause it to move a little bit, you know, and over the period of what? Yeah, you know, lots of different problems there. But the rockets.
Simon did say that he thinks the stars are far closer than we're told. Which anything we can see with our naked eye is either insanely big or it's much closer. I go with much closer.
Definitely. And well, not only that, we know light doesn't travel far through the medium, so it does need to be close in order to light up the medium that we're seeing it through. Once you get up into the atmosphere where the air is a lot thinner, stars become less apparent.
Right.
You know, so it is the medium. And remember, light is, we only see the secondary source of light, we never see the main source of light. Same with sound. Sound is silent. Sound can only be generated by two objects hitting each other and then vibrating the air that they're travelling through. Sound is actually silent and light is actually invisible. You know, people need to understand a lot of these things before they actually go out and make observations. But nevertheless, you know, we'll get there in the end, mate.
Yes.
But it was wonderful listening to John play guitar.
I missed that. Yeah.
You should give us a hit with your drums one day.
I don't have any. I could only hit the table.
I'm sure you could still keep us going there. I bet you know a little drummer boy. We'll get Tom doing the David Bowie part and you do the Bing Crosby bit.
No, I don't know anything particularly. So I can just do a few paradiddles and that's about it. Sorry.
Yeah. I learned that once drunk in a bar. There you go. Funniest thing is when I was a barman for a number of years, and when you are a barman, you come across musicians and stuff, and you'd be surprised what the tune can knock out, you know.
You must see everything in a bar.
Yeah, I think that's why I quit, actually. I was becoming sainted. I wasn't man enough to handle it.
Really?
Yeah. Although I handled it for 5 years, so I'll be.
That's sort of the darker side of life that comes out at night, huh?
Yeah, you're right. But some of the most beautiful things at night as well, you know, acts of kindness.
Sure.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. I think you see more at night time now than you do in the day, especially in the big cities now. The people can fall down on the street now, and if you're dressed in tramp's clothes, they walk over you. If you're dressed in a suit, you get picked up and put on the side, and they'll give you money to get in a cab home. You know, so we know our society is moving along there, so it's all about presentation. But when you're drunk, you are just kind to strangers, so you do see a lot of selfless acts. That I'm going back 8 or 9 years there, so you know, I clean toilets now. That is my vocation. That is all I think about, cleaning toilets.
I know, that's so noble of you.
Oh, you know, you try. No, it just gives me time to listen to stuff and get a few jobs done that I need to do. Unpaid jobs, unfortunately, but still need to do them. Got a lot of jobs that we do.
I put a lot of stuff up on the site. Hopefully you get a chance to look at it.
Listen, as soon as I leave you now, mate, and let you catch up, I'm sure it's coming up to lunchtime.
No,
you just finished lunchtime, aren't you?
Yeah. I'll let you go look. I have nothing else really of great import to impart on the great masses here.
Well, I think the main thing to draw out of that is the fact that Alex Jones might be calling the Vegas shooting a hoax now or something. But, you know, I think John elaborated it a little more. But nevertheless, a wonderful entourage of different people coming in and giving a...
We'll have to see how Alex Jones takes control of that story and what he does to it, really. If he does take on that story, then he's going to... Let's see how he screws with it. That's really what you need to look for, I think.
Yeah, like I say, I'm watching it secondhand from afar with both fingers in my ears, saying, nah, hiding behind the couch. So, you know, whatever information I'm getting is, like you said, mate, it's been pushed very, very much. An awful lot more than it should be pushed, so we'll see. Anyway, but what I said about it is that I said, imagine it robbery. Imagine if someone robbed a casino. It was like something out of, you know, Die Hard or, you know, one of them. I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying, think of it that way. You know, all witnesses are dying. More than one shooter. I don't know. I have no idea. But whatever label they attach to this, it's not going to be good for the local community. And it's going to mean that more thick neck idiots get a chance to pull people about a bit, which can't be good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, look, I'll leave you to it, my mate. But it's been wonderful chatting
to you. All right, take care.
Take care, Paul.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Hey. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, welcome back.
You too. It's been a while.
Thank you.
We need to catch up.
Yes, we do. Yes, it's episode 23. This is issue 23. Does Rockerfee work in space? And it's October 13th. 2017 is Friday the 13th.
Oh, that's my daughter's lucky number. She's born on Friday the 13th.
I found Friday the 13th to be lucky. They're just fine to me. I don't see anything wrong with them.
I'll assign luck to this day, yes. Friday. Every other day, too.
Yeah. I was reading about where Friday the 13th originated, and it's supposedly, I've been reading a book by Stephen Sora, who wrote he wrote about how the Knights Templar, like the Church had basically said, okay, these Knights are a little bit too powerful, we gotta round them up and attack them. But it's not because necessarily the Pope, it was kind of a flimsy Pope that was influenced by royalty, because the royalty were actually below the Knights Templar in terms of like who paid who to finance wars and stuff like that. Now, this is all coming from the book, so I'm just saying it's just stuff to look at. I won't say it's definitely credible information. It's just interesting kind of storytelling about why that exists.
Well, we used to stay in Birmingham. We go the
Does resonate is something that is...
I want to go to the limit.
The notion that they're like the first multinational corporation. The Templars, and they had a lot of power, and when they were disbanded or they were attacked by the powers that be that were in royalty, it was because the Templars had basically taken up piracy.
Took over the Nile business.
I guess
the
Jolly Roger, Skull and Crossbones,
2,000 years we've been
Masonic. Templar belief.
Never had one fall off yet.
Unlike the Catholic Church, which said,
hanging them there
and now. You only needed a skull and two bones to go to heaven.
And a candle.
And when they were promoting that, they adopted that flag as well. But then the name is
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Hello, this is Fakeologist live stream. The date is the 19th and the 10th, 2017. It's 23:13 in the afternoon. We've got Tom Dalfra, Not So Freemason, and Radio Rollover in chat. We're going to have a little bit of a chat this afternoon. Obviously, me and Tom are working on Greenwich Mean Time, so we'll be heading out in a couple of, in about 20 minutes or so. But in the meantime, I'd like to address a couple of bits with Rollo. So, Rollo, now that you're back, is Radio Rollo going to be played on Sunday again? And are you going to have any... upcoming guests.
I think you muted, no roles, no?
Well, he's left again. Anyway, okay, Tom. Right, next one. What was the last thing we were talking about, Tom, me and you?
You see, this is why I said we should have a... we should say what we're going to say before we start.
Yeah,
We've been in room 11 having a chat about various things.
Well, we were just talking about disappointment and how some people get disappointed. But really, should we be disappointed? Should be, really. You know, we wasn't helping for no great Messiah.
Not surprised, really. I don't think we're that surprised. We're sort of used to it by now. I think, did JLB do that? Did JLB us as some kind of an agent, do you think? Would you like
Take two. Guys, are you still there?
Yeah.
You don't want to... Are we in the live stream now?
We're shysters and liars. Nah, we're, and agents. No, we're not, really.
You meant to burst in then, Rollo, and say JFK is not dead.
He isn't.
He might be now.
Hey, so, look, what did I miss? I don't know what it is with Discord. When we go into the live stream, somehow something, everything goes pear-shaped this end. So what is it? It is the 20th of October, and we're having a lovely chat off air. What are we going to discuss today, Napoleon?
Well, I want to discuss the disappointment with Tom. But Tom said, no, we should be prepared for disappointment. So then I said, well, okay, let's discuss JFK assassination and why it's yes. such a hot potato and not any...
All right, okay. Napoleon, how much research have you done on JFK and how much do you know about... okay, so you've watched the JFK movie. That was the thing that immediately snapped you into somewhere else when it came to watching Oliver Stone's film? I just met
the challenge that the film dished out. Where it's like, you're not going to be able to work this out. It's an enigma wrapped up in bullshit, wrapped up in, you know what I mean? And I went, no, I'll work this out.
And it's a riddle wrapped up in an enigma. Now, there was a guy called Blue Moon that wrote a book, and Ab spoke to at length a few years back, actually, on the 22nd of November, on one of the anniversaries. And he was a fantastic individual.
Also,
yes, as well, yeah. And Tommy Dalpro, who we've got here also, you're into the JFK, fiction?
Not a speciality of mine, JFK. I've looked at it a bit and...
Well, let's concentrate this show specifically on JFK then. Okay, so should we start with Abraham Zapruder? What do we know about that man? The guy that held the handheld footage.
If we had SMJ in here now, we'd probably hit you with about 8 or 9 minutes worth of facts saying Zapruder, blah, 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 blah. It was turned in. Obviously, it was released 13 years later. It was put out on the Geraldo Rivera show. Yeah. I think the main thing to take from the Zapruder film is his head gets exploded, but in the autopsy, his head's back. You know, that is the last that proves that, you know, the video is fake. Not only that the big men in the background instead of being small and the people in the foreground, all the different cuts, but this is just all conspiracy candy. There's always a tit for tat, and there's always a tat for tit.
And that's where we came up with the term conspiracy theorist. Now that we're all auto hoaxes, as I don't know, is the mainstream media going to run with auto hoaxes? They certainly run with fake news, but conspiracy theorists shut down a conversation. Was it Tom you were saying that you were talking to someone and they call you a conspiracy theorist? Straight away, shuts down a conversation. Straight away.
Yes. And that came because, of course, that term came from the JFK assassination, didn't it?
Of course.
Was it a lone gunman? No, it was a conspiracy. Was the only alternative to it not being a lone gunman was it had to be a conspiracy.
Yeah. And, you know, the official story is obviously the fellow from the book depository. But the real unofficial story is, the grassy knoll. That's what they wanted from the start. They wanted that. I'm sure of it.
Well, it's built in.
Yeah.
Because they knew there would be so much discussion.
Lee Harvey Oswald shooting from with a sort of bolt-action gun, Italian, Manly Calcano. No way. It's the official. Barry Jennings did a show on it. He was all frightened about this guy. Is it Barry Jennings? When did you mention Barry Jennings? I don't know who that guy is, but
9/11 witnesses in Building 7. And
right. Sorry, I got the name wrong. One of the fellows who was like one of the was the newsreader on CBS or whatever.
Peter Jennings.
Did a documentary on it.
That's it. Peter Jennings, Rolo.
Peter Jennings. I got the name wrong. Yeah, Peter Jennings. He seems so nervous. But if you look at that documentary, you can see that he was like corralled into, I have to do this. I have to do this. And but I think that the unofficial official story is the grassy knoll. And that is a, they have made that to, because these guys are in the long con. The mainstream media, or the people who run the mainstream media, are in the long con. You know what I mean? And
it's all.
I think that's what the second shooter narrative is all about with all these shootings, including Las Vegas most recently. But there's always multiple accounts of a second shooter, and that seems like the decoy conspiracy, you know.
They're doing the same thing again, not so Freemason. They're doing the same thing. They don't know how to do anything different. Yeah, he's right. Yeah.
It seems to work. And also, it does shadow again that idea of this scary beast, doesn't it? Which is effective in his own self. Because the most people just believe the whole official story. And then you've got another whole section of people who think that there's this scary, murderous...
Yes. You guys were, yes, you were talking about that the other night with Ab. Ab said that's the...
Who then believe, scared, if they're going to think of the alternative is more frightening than the actual real story.
You're going to suddenly die of a heart attack. Tom Dalper is not going to die of a heart attack just because he questions this stuff. Not so Freemason, Napoleon, no. We're just here. We're exercising our First Amendment rights. I don't know if that's true for Australia, but I mean, freedom of speech. Hey, we're allowed to do it. Let's do it. If we don't do it,
I think we've got a right to be fearless. You know, absolutely. Yes.
Exactly. So
it's the only time I can turn my nose up at people. Anyway, you're inferior. You still believe in nuclear weapons? Blah blah blah. I think JFK. Yeah. But I love telling Americans, I'll be dead on it, I love telling Americans, like, you think JFK died, don't you? And they go, what? And I go, you think he died, don't you? And they look at you, and I'm going, he didn't die. And it makes me laugh. But you know what? For a minute, they look at you and they go, isn't he? Yeah, no, he's a cunt. I think it's the best thing going.
I think it blew me.
Sorry.
Blue Moon said he went to Greece, and that's why he thought. Well, it was a theory.
He said he fucked off, lived on Onassis's island for 12 months, and then Jackie joined him 12 months later. And we've seen that with Christopher Reeve. 12 months later, his missus dies of lung cancer, fit and healthy before that, but you know, all of a sudden, boom, time tested. Fuck him, shit houses. I don't care. And these people who start going like. Where's this Frank Albo's book? Oh, we're in live stream now. Frank, I love you. You're amazing. Love all your esoteric stuff. But seriously, you have to look at the Twin Towers, the fucking full of psi symbols. And the fact that the only bits of the Twin Towers they say the psi symbols. You know, and you call yourself an architect. Yeah. Come on. Everything's Latin. Everything starts up in Latin. Everything refers to the stuff being Latin and Greek and all these different things. So don't be ignorant there. But it is funny, there's no comeback on that. You know what I mean? If someone went on, let's just say Ab got someone on, and they just called him for an hour, and Ab just skirted around it, we'd like to say, no, what do you mean, blah, blah, blah. But every question that was asked Chris Chris was asking Frank Albo, he's like, oh, I don't answer that, I don't want to do that. That's bollocks. I don't know what Chris's affiliations are, if he has to do anything to a radio station or anything else. He was just being polite, he probably was. You know, because in the day he's found his stuff interesting, but just to say I'm not going to answer that, and you know, things like this is an area of transparency. Well, in this radio stuff, I suppose, because otherwise you end up with the point that a lot of people are at now saying, is Jay Dyer an agent? He's like, no, he's been saying the same thing for years. The one thing people want to address is what we've said, JFK. Now, if someone wants to address JFK, then you can put your money on him. You're not going to get that.
Jim Fetzer, I mean, how long has he been investigating JFK and still hasn't got to the point where it's the media and, the Pentagon messing with Zapruder footage because the Zapruder footage is just makes no sense whatsoever.
No.
So so yeah, to try and examine it. All right, okay, let's examine it for what we can actually see. Okay, so there were people three deep or five deep right down that street before it turns onto Elm Street, and then there's nobody there. I mean, that's a good question to ask. Where did everybody go? So tell me that's not a movie set. Like, they probably didn't even film it that day.
Right, my points come back to me. Sorry.
Go for it.
My points come back to me when we were talking about Die Hard.
Go for it.
Right, here you go. You ready? Just before fucking, what's his name? Alan Rickman. Mr. Takagi. You know what I mean? Just before he shoots him in the head, right, they walk through. And they walk through, like this little, well, this little, what do you want to call it? Like an entertaining room. And there's this massive bridge laid out. And, Alan Rickman says, I have always loved models. Now, bear in mind, the entire film 9-1-1, the entire film Die Hard is based on 9-1-1. Everything from having explosives at the top of the building to having unfinished buildings, so only finished floors, to 9-11, to planes crashing, everything to do with Die Hard is to do with 9-1-1. And if you've never watched Die Hard, go back because you get to 4-7 equivalents in about an hour and a half. Anyway, he says, the attention to detail has always been one of my favourite things. And what he's looking at, a bridge. Now, the bridge he's looking at, you might think, oh, that's just a bridge. That's actually a bridge. If you want to break, you want to do a bit of manoeuvring with it, stand it up, it actually looks like the one World Trade Tower. This is what I was trying to remember the other day. But the way he said models and attention to detail. Now, I've watched September Clues many a time, and I've heard how all different things are addressed, saying it's CGI, and I've heard saying CGI planes this and the other. No, it was all CGI. The only way you're going to get a building to explode from the top down is if you actually use models. And a lot of them, the stuff used in that were models. So that was just another homage on a film, which was a prediction to September 11th in film again. So if anyone wants to have a laugh, go back and watch Die Hard just before he shoots him in the head. And you'll see that the bridge in question is not far off one of the world, the one trade tower. That's going out live anyway. Come on, come in. Sorry, that's me that interrupting.
That's not interrupting at all. Go, Tom. Tom?
I'm not sure that it was models used on 9/11.
Some of it was.
I'll go with that. My thinking is, you know, yeah, the only way you get a top-down collapse is if you fucking rigged it for that, you know.
Well, you can do it another way. What you can do is turn the footage upside down, but actually push the building down into the ground.
CGI.
But you're pushing
it's
down.
CGI.
But if it's you look CGI. At the smoke. Oh, yeah, it is. I'm not saying it's not CGI, but what I'm saying, there is ways of doing stuff like that.
But those buildings had to come down that day. So
yeah, but we don't see.
Really realistic. So they did demolish them anyway. So it would be realistic if you demolished them and then filmed it. It would be absolutely realistic, wouldn't it? And then other people would have witnessed it, and it would have looked like everyone saw. People did see them come down.
Yeah, it would be realistic in terms of you could see that it was a controlled demolition. Whereas, you're right. That would snap people out of their, their collective consciousness of the crap that we see on TV and believe it's real. That would snap people out if they saw that they just fell how you normally do a controlled demolition where you go bang, 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 and it fell from the bottom down into its own footprint. No, doing it from the top down. Yeah, exploding it from the top down.
Which
scared the shit out of everyone, yeah. It did me. Go into polish.
No, all I was going to say is that's impossible. Even if you look at the footage to try and explain it with the swabs and stuff like that, you can't do that. Dust doesn't fall out. You'd be left with something that looked like a centipede. Literally, you'd have puffs of smoke either side of it, and the building would leave a streak down the middle, and that's what you'd be left with.
They did that, didn't they? I don't know. But,
No. It'd be left standing. You'd be able to see it. You know, the dust over there. That is literally all pretend. But it's models, so that's why it looks so real.
Yep, it is.
What I've said always said, really. For
not on all of them, sorry.
I don't know how it was done. You know, I don't know exactly, and I'm not going to make any claims. If I watch a David Copperfield or any magic trick, made big magic trick on television, you know, I know it's not real, but I don't know how it's done. But I'm not really that interested in finding exactly the mechanisms of the trick, you know, because
how did they land on the moon?
It'll just be a trick. You know what I mean?
Tommy, are you telling me seriously you don't know how, you don't want to know how the trick is done? Like, I rewatched a few of the smoke. Look, listen. I was watching the smoke chase the people down the street, and I rewatched that, and I went, well, we don't actually see the actual towers coming. It's just smoke coming around the corner, and they could have told those crisis actors or whatever you want to call them, these you know, sellouts, run down the not sellouts, just the extras. Let's call them extras. Yeah, run down the street because we're making a movie and this smoke comes around the corner. And I watched it and I've gone, what are we actually seeing here? We're not actually seeing towers come down and them, and then the smoke and then them running around the corner. But even then, the cameraman has held the camera so beautifully while they're running down the street while the smoke's chasing them. Why is the cameraman not shit scared? You know, it's the same as this nuke thing, like when you see the nukes blow houses away. Why is the camera not shaking in any way, shape, or form, or destroyed by the nuke?
What I mean? Oh, that's a classic. Yeah, that one. When the Greyhound bus goes flying over or whatever on those
early... Yeah, that's all that bullshit. So, but you forget that. You forget that.
They vaporize everything.
Yeah. So you've got...
How did they land on the moon? Mate, they told you, they shown you pictures of it, and then they landed on it.
Is that beautiful pictures too, by the way, Napoleon? Yeah. Those photographs are just beautiful, and yet they're supposed to be Hasselblads on the front of their... And have you ever tried taking a picture of someone when you're not looking through the lens? It's going to be a shit picture, but here they are, perfectly crisp, you know, perfectly center frame. You know, it's like, and apparently they've got these Hasselblad cameras on their chests.
And they've got gauntlets
on their hands.
Perfect bracketing. Even got a saying for it. It's like they can't understand how the bracketing is so perfect on all these pictures from the moon. And then you realise, oh no, and they have to take one every 5.1 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you don't know how a rocket gets into space. And then you don't know how they transfer from the LEM into the command module because there's no door. Or vice versa. And then, you know, you wonder why they put the life support boosters or, you know, backpacks out on the moon before they took off. And then you wonder how who took the photos that were taken off from the moon. And then you wonder why it's on. It's not real.
And then you wonder why.
Yeah, I roll
and then you want, and then you wonder why people like in your own family.
This is the funniest.
Yeah, go for it.
They've convinced the black people in America who were fucking from Africa. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life, man. All these black people running around America thinking they're from Africa. There you go. They used to be slaves from Africa. No, there was more Indian tribes that were black than were anything else. You get the odd Inuit tribe, you get a few from South... Yeah, but no, I think 16 black tribes. They've told everyone they're from Africa. Fucking hell. But yeah, I mean, you wonder why they don't address JFK. Because, Jesus Christ, a fucking tin of worms, man.
Even that for the blue marble was supposedly taken by one of those Hasselblad cameras as well, wasn't it? From like 17,000 miles up.
Yeah, 120,000 miles away.
You know, this beautifully colour picture they got back from the Hasselblad, and they only took one of the Earth. You know, I mean, there should be dozens, shouldn't there, if they could get such good photographs.
Well, they could tell it was a good one, Tom. You know, by the sound click, boy, yeah, it was a good one, that.
Possible, is it? Now they can't get photographs that aren't black and white, and they have to sort of they're augmented or something. I know they're composites. They're all composites now. You can only get a composite.
We can't believe anything, Tommy. We can't believe anything now we see because they've got. I mean, you've seen the movies and whatnot now. You just cannot believe anything you see now. But back then, this is the thing. Back in the '60s, we know what the capabilities were of computers. I mean, computers, they thought they could talk or had some sort of, you know, consciousness or whatever in these, all this science fiction bullshit. But we can see now that that a lot of people were played for fools with what they saw on the news. And certainly the moon landings is just, it's just laughable now. And how many people still think we went to the moon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the very
they just think, they just don't think. They just don't go, and you try and tell them, and suddenly you're a kook. We didn't go to the moon. Of course we went to the moon.
But what's the biggest trick? Telling them that the moon is somewhere. That's where it comes into play. Yeah. You can't. It's the light.
Once you've been lied like that, once you've been lied like that, you should get angry and say, look, well, not angry, but just a little, come on. Then we know the moon landing is fake. It's so obvious that it's fake. And yet we live in a modern society where I with real clever people that I knock around with, you try and tell them that, no way. They won't even, you know, take it on board or even think about it. It's just incredible. That makes it hard to live with other people.
Right, well, yeah, I remember you've just said clever people, right?
Yeah.
I was chatting to a doctor about a year ago, and I was saying to him about using people who don't smoke for clinical trials. He had no idea. He said, well, yeah, because that's because they're healthier. I said, no. I said, you don't know why. And he had no idea why. I said, the reason they don't want people who smoke is because people who do smoke have got a higher immune system. And this is a doctor. I think he's 54. Had no idea. So there you go. That's someone who's supposedly intelligent in his field. Has no idea. So when you say intelligent there, Roll, I understand. You can't be intelligent.
Because you smoke. You smoke, yes, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
So do I. I don't know if Tom does, but...
The richest people in the world, the people that control the place, right? There's two things you can't say to them, right? So these are people who use money, who don't need passports. These are people who don't, sure, you know, right? You say to them, you can't go to New York on Tuesday, September the 11th. They're going to laugh at you. Also, you start putting poisons in cigarettes, right? They're going to fucking kick off with you. Because everybody smokes who's in them circles. So that explains why they're always going on about smoking causing this, when at least 53%, or I think it's 52%, of people who get lung cancer don't smoke. You know what I mean?
Yes, there's problems.
No, I understand what you're saying, and obviously, you know, you understand that. But we do get told stuff. Now, whether or not it's true, we take it on board, so we do have the placebo effect in what we're being told, so we take on bad things just by listening to them. That's what I'm saying, you're not being told different things cause this.
Sure. And you're not frightened of smoking by one stretch, are you? Apollyon.
I'm frightened of anything. No, time. My time's up.
What is that?
Well, I think it's...
I quit
weed. I think smoking that all the time through roaches, you know, with relatively not that healthy for you, you know.
Definitely.
You know, building up in my lungs and really hot. And doing that for a long period of time, I think will have negative health benefit, you know, a negative effect. But, I think to an extent, through filtered cigarettes, you know, smoked, anything done in moderation, in a way, you're probably going to be all right.
Yeah, I just think they're drawing attention to something which isn't that bad with smoking at all. Yeah. That's all I'm really pointing out.
Yeah, sure. And the hospital story I was going to say there is that I worked on a lung ward once for a period of time, and I did my own sort of survey of everyone that was in there with emphysema and these lung problems. Like you say... There wasn't a correlation with smoking. It didn't seem to be. A lot of the people that had the really bad problems weren't smokers, you know.
Yeah.
Never smoked, you know. And same in the cancer ward, you know. It was obviously a portion of smokers, but a whole bunch of people didn't, you know. People with lung cancer weren't always smokers, you know.
Yeah.
That was my impression. I remember being quite, you know, quite surprised, really. There must be statistics, you know. this stuff must be well examined, you know, really. And what's the truth of it?
It's probably a common denominator.
Cutting the changing the smoking thing, no smoking in public areas now. And they've changed the packaging and they've made it more expensive.
Way more expensive. Do you know how much a packet of smokes is here is in Australia, Tommy?
I'm going to guess $16.99.
No, it's $40. $40.
$40?
Yeah, for a packet of 30. I tell you, and what you were saying before, my mother died of lung cancer, supposedly, and never smoked in her life. And what the hell's going on there?
I know, I'm sorry.
You know, it's just like, no, don't be sorry. It's fine. Look, she supposedly got diagnosed with lung cancer and barely smoked a cigarette in her life. And look, I smoked all my life. I smoked 40 a day.
And you're still alive.
alive and well. Unfortunately, or fortunately, or unfortunately for some, I don't know. For my wife doesn't smoke, and she hates the smell of it. But yeah, so Napoleon, have you got a wife? I can't remember. Have you got one?
No, I'm single.
Single, footloose, and fancy free.
That's what I'm after. I'm sure that's what it's for.
You're happy because you don't have a wife.
It means he's happy because he's single. You don't think it means that she's shoving me a dick up and over, man. It just means I'm happy because I'm single. You know, and then them homosexuals hijacking our words.
I've got...
It was gay back. We want gay back. I'd love to be gay again.
I am happy and gay when I'm talking to you, Napoleon, and you, Tommy. Yeah. Happy and gay. Not as in gay as I want to thrust my knob up someone's ass.
Cal's here. He's happy and gay as well.
Yeah, when the words get changed around, yeah, but that's political correctness. Me and Napoleon have spoken about that before. Back in the 70s.
I don't know if people on this site are still some people are sexuality is like that conservative old conservative attitude that winds me up. I think that's.
I'm still waiting for a time that sexuality is actually a point. It's never when people bring it up, I go, that is not actually a point. It doesn't count yet.
Yeah, it doesn't. Napoleon, listen. The new Doctor Who, they've recast as a woman. Can you believe it? Now, I hope they don't make that a sexual thing. I hope they make her a strong character, but
Hang on. We've got to be true to the original story. Does Doctor Who have a lineage? Was he born a lad? What's going on?
Yeah, he was.
Right, so then you protest this beast of a woman taking over. Unless you're really into Doctor Who. If you're really into
Doctor Who, I am.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, exactly. I was that way when they tried fucking Smallville when I was about 2004. And I went, yeah, do you know what? I've had enough for telly now. And I turned it off. But, you know, everyone carried on watching a bit of Superman. I've always loved Superman. But no, I'm afraid.
Yeah, my favourite show too.
Yeah, I want him in a cape. So, you know, I sort of watched it, and then I went, right, I'll leave it now. But, you know, everybody to their own. I'm a big Red Dwarf fan. I will watch that if someone's fucking drawing it on the top of the wall in makeup. I don't care. I love it.
Hey, do you want to hear the worst joke I ever got told by a doctor? He said, why did Superman not save the World Trade Centers? He's in a fucking wheelchair.
That's a fucking belting joke, right?
It's a cracker, isn't it?
That's a good one.
Oh, man. He said that on the mic, and everybody just went, they didn't laugh, they didn't know what to say.
I remember, Tal's fucked had gone off now. Do you think I upset him by saying, anyway, it's about gay and happy, talking of gay and happy.
Give over. Tal's tougher than all of us, and do you know what, he's probably fitter and stronger than all of us, he's probably batter all of us.
He's fine, but I don't know why he didn't join in, he dropped in and then dropped out, but anyway.
I like Tal. He's rough and ready.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's all right. Yeah. Hey, look, and look, there's nothing wrong with gayness. I mean, I slept with a guy once. John LeBon has some issues with it, but...
Can we pause that there and just ask, I slept with a guy once, John LeBon?
No, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
John
LeBon's got some issues.
John LeBon. I know you're not listening, but get that. You've got to cut that. That'd be perfect.
Do you think John Le Bon has ever actually had sex, Rolf?
Of course he has.
I think so.
Of course he hasn't.
Yeah. Of course he has.
Hasn't? Do you think he's still a virgin? He's 30 years old.
Yeah, but he's
John Le Bon has got the gift of the gab. He's telling me, look, that lad can talk some knickers off a girl. It doesn't matter if she's a pig or a monster. He's
fucking awesome. I'll open Skype now. See if I can find him and see if he'll come and join us.
Just because he doesn't whip a mini piano out and start giving it fucking get back honky cat.
John Le Bon. Absolute. I mean, see if I'll try and get him on Skype.
He's not allowed.
Give me a moment. Give me a moment, guys. Give me a moment. I'll see if I can get him on Skype.
He's been staying away from psychologists.
I know he wrote. Oh look, I was kicked off of Clues Forum and rah. Have you guys read that?
Oh yeah, I read that. Yeah, that verbose sort of post about
Who was care about the
fair
ancient?
Yeah.
It was kicked.
Why not?
Off.
He just said that. Let me read it verbatim. Here we go. Let me look up fakeologist.com.
Perception at Clues Forum. I thought that was very uncalled for. You know, I remember it being very hostile, and I thought, God, what's wrong? It's a bit.
What was it? He can't upset anyone, John. He can be verbose, and you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
he can upset you. He's all right. He's like a kid now. He's a lovable kid. He's good.
Thank you for your original fair experience with Clared. Can you hear me all right? 1-2, check 1-2. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
He says, thank you for your original research and for taking the time to share your experience with the Clues Forum thread. The reason I took a long time to log in and post here is that I wanted you to know that you are far from the only person I've shared this original important research on Clues Forum and have been banned and or victimized shortly afterwards. I've spoken about my own experiences with Clues Forum in the past. A few months ago, Mr. Shack extended an olive branch in the comments section and of my YouTube channel. Although I have not made an attempt to return to Clues Forum, I remain cautiously optimistic that my victimization in 2015 was an honest case of jumping at shadows, in quotes, and that had a time...
I'm talking like that. That's bollocks. That speak like a fucking human, man. What did he say? What was his original comment? This is what gets me fucking going. People are going, oh, I don't know how he addressed it. No, people are looking up and seeing fucking weird stuff. People are watching 911 and thinking people died. Let's work this out. You don't... Victimisation, bollocks, man. Yeah, how would the band...
I didn't agree with in John's stuff is when he was going, you know, the psyops were cropping up and he was going, you know, I don't know, Philadelphia, real or fake or something, whatever it was, you know.
Yeah, real or fake.
No, we're beyond that now. We know they're fake. Let's move on. But just by saying that, you're starting up the wrong discussion. I don't know. I can't trust John. I'm sorry, John. But in the sense of...
But there's a difference between listening to what he's saying, engaging him, and then banning him.
I'm an idiot here.
That's what I mean. You don't even need to do any of that. This is fucking weird. I don't understand it.
I mean, maybe I'm totally open to being stupid here. I mean, the last thing I want to do is starting to dig at someone who's genuine. Because, and I suppose the best way to say it is, if he is genuine, if he is an honest guy and he's genuinely doing his own research, I might not agree with all of it, but I think he's great, you know, trying and putting the effort in, which is what I say to him, to his face, you know, I have before. So,
well, he's only 30 years old, remember? He's only 30, so he's
a young guy and, you know, he's got principles and stuff and finding his way. So therefore I have to be open to that and I am to remain open. It's just I was a big fan, actually, of his when he first came along. I thought, you know, he spoke with such clarity and intelligence, and I was very happy to have a sort of intelligent guy on board. But I don't know, with over time, you know, I got fed up with, you know.
He started trying to pick fights with fakeologists. That's the thing I couldn't understand, where there was no reason to pick fights. I mean, me and you and Napoleon, whatever, we can talk candidly and, yeah, maybe we disagree on some things or not others, but...
I've ignored John if he was being daft, and that's what I'm saying about Clues Forum. Never don't understand what all this banning is about. Why, you know, you shouldn't be banning. especially John. You can ban someone like John, who's pretty much 95% on board with most of the stuff they say.
I agree.
Who banned him? Because I did read that Simon Shack did extend an olive branch to him. And, yeah, perhaps people were jumping at Shadows when he first turned up there, you know, and it did seem inappropriate when they were having a go at him.
Because conflict brings out the best in everyone, doesn't it?
Same with
I'm just saying conflict there brings
conflict, out the best, yeah, you're right. Or putting people into a small space, like if you watch Porridge or something, yeah. Put people into a small space that shouldn't be together. Yeah, it's the best shit. Yeah, you're right.
Fucking gone. Tal, don't disappear. Come back.
Next time he comes in. Oh, there he is.
Tal, go. All right, Tal, what do you got to say?
Mate's gone in.
And do you know what Tal's done? I'm going to tell you what he's done.
What?
He's changed his avatar so it matches his colour. He's a fucking cool dude, man. Now he's gone out. He keeps on, what's the word? It's not on green, it's on yellow. You know what I mean? So look at his coolest sin in it, right? I'm going to change mine to green. I need a green avatar. Sorry. Come on, Daddy OG, you need to catch up with the fucking game, man. Things are moving up. This is Discord Fashion Week. I can't do it after the couple of hours. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? Couple of granddads.
Granddads. Do we need a tune?
Well, put a tune on.
I'm going to bed. I'll see you later, guys. I'm going to go.
See you, buddy.
Bed.
Love you.
Love you, mate.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I'm not a homosexual. I'm very gay, though. I'm very gay. Very happy, though. I speak to Tom Dalpra. Okay, let's put a tune on, hey, Kay? And we'll be back in a few moments. What do you reckon?
Entirely your choice, my mate. What was that one we were listening to the other day?
How about this?
You know you got a right to say. Oh, you got a right, yes, you got a right to say. Yeah, yeah, you bloody well right. You know you're right to say. Me, I don't care, anyway. Stay away in the beach. time hard to say. Right,
right,
you're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right, you're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say. You're bloody well right. You got a right to say. Yeah, yeah, you're bloody well right. You know your right to say. You got a bloody right to say.
Here. You still there, Napoleon?
I'm still here, my mate, but I'm going to bow out, and the reason being is because you've got two pharma intelligent fakeologists in the lobby there. We're going to be carrying on this conversation in the live chat once I get out of it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute my mate and leave myself listening to see what's going on. Like I say, you've got Not So Freemason and One for Truth now. Tell, obviously. But
we'll let them go. We'll let them go. We'll let them go.
I have to go sleep, my mate, but I'm just going to mute for 5 minutes and see if anyone pops in. But it'd be nice to, for you to carry on playing a bit of music, and if they don't want to come in and have a chat to you, then I'll...
Another tune. Give me another tune that you want. Give me another tune.
Oh, you know me, mate. I'm either native New Yorker always at this point, but...
we already played New Yorker. Come on, give me another one.
A real good one. Okay, 10cc, One Night in Paris.
NCC, all right, so here we go with that. And, like, again, anyone is welcome to come to fakeologist.com. As Ab says, he doesn't edit, he doesn't, you can talk about the Jews, if that's your problem, yeah, or the Muslims, if that's your problem. But as long as you try and speak truth as best you can, as best you know it, with the research you've done. Like, we've listened to, Kaham and Typo, not Typo, Kaham, Hoipoloi and Simon Shack do what? Their latest trick with being able to fly through, what, space with rockets? You haven't listened to it all yet, have you? Clues Chronicle?
I really do want to listen to it.
I've listened to quite a bit of it, and it's just fantastic. And it's caused some issues. A couple of fakeologists said, look, I wasn't allowed in, or I've been... I don't know what's going on with... do they not allow someone? Simon Shack put it pretty nicely in, as a response, saying, look, if I've got it wrong and you've been banned, you're allowed to come back. He seems like a reasonable guy to me. You know,
if anyone's
right?
been banned from anywhere, then someone's willing to unban them, no problem there. Obviously, people are impetuous, so when you do ban people, you know, you just have things to say. It all depends who's been banned. But if you are banning someone like John Le Bon, obviously, he's a bit corrosive, but nevertheless, he still seems to me like he's only asking questions which are probably a lot more sugar-coated than you would get if you were actually in the mainstream media and science world. So, you know, there's always a soft spot in the heart for John Le Bon. It's like truth is being spoon-fed to different people. So it all depends where you're coming from.
Yeah. If you listen back to me and John Le Bon chatting, he said he would easily take Carl Stefanovic's job on, on Breakfast here in Australia.
Yeah.
Now, you probably wouldn't know about this, but apparently the girl that he was with has just jumped ship. And these guys are on not 200,000 a year. They're on like millions a year, like $1 million. This is how much these people make for dummies like, I guess, most of Australia. Yeah, that watch them. I can't remember her name. She was Peter Fitzsimons. He was a famous football. Sorry, here comes Ab.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Know her name, but she was Peter Fitzsimons' wife, or is Peter Fitzsimons' wife, and she's just jumped ship and gone to Channel 10. And
I know,
look,
but
these guys are millions.
I know, but even that doesn't mean anything to me. I don't want to tell you. Well, I don't.
I only saw it because it popped up in my little, because I do like to sort of keep an eye on the news just to see what these scumbag motherfuckers are up to. So
I just think of it as like everyone on telly is on a wage. You know, everyone who you see on telly is on a wage. I just think that. And
Hey, Napoleon, they won't question what they're told to read. Question what you're told to read, you motherfuckers. So, Stefanovic or whatever her name, Wilkinson, I think her name is. Yeah, know, she needs to fucking question the bullshit.
I know, but complaining about the actors in a play. First thing you ask is why is the play on? Who the fuck wrote this? Yeah, I mean, the people playing the parts, they're the last of your concerns. This is why I laugh when I hear about politics. It's like, no, he's like going into a theatre and going, literally standing there in front of the actors and calling them a liar. It's a new fucking liar. Imagine what the people behind you are going to be doing. They're going to be looking at you going, what? But this is only what I've worked out. This is why we're at this level.
The thing is, though, when you go to watch a play, you already know the play, surely. A bit of Shakespeare or whatever, you know the play.
Very true.
You just read the fucking lines and make it look good. I'm talking about Breakfast Television, where these cunts are just lying to you.
Yeah, of course they
are. Need to fucking, grow a conscience.
I know, but if the lies don't amount to anything, on these subliminals, i.e. like vaccines for your brain, or you've got to get abortion, baby mama.
Were you vaccinated?
No, I think I had a shot in my arm when I was about 12.
Come to Australia, because you know that I was born over there, where you are. Yeah, I was vaccinated. At least that did to me.
It probably didn't do anything to you. Probably strong enough by then. It's probably just the kids who've had been malnutrition, throughout childbirth.
You talk about in Australian television, if you're on air and you say, like, there was a Swartz guy that said, I didn't get my flu shot. They ripped on him and said, what? You didn't get your flu shot? You are, you're un-Australian or something, It's just idiotic.
What makes me laugh is, in a democracy, they shout at you for not getting a shot. And a shot is to, it's for everybody else apart from you. just up to you passing anything on. So it's like the first step of communism in a democracy. And no one ever clocks it. It's just like, yeah, you got to get vaccines. It's like, it's communist. And then I know we're living in a democracy. Take your vaccine. Uh-huh. It's like, I think it's funny. Yeah. But I think it's all funny. I'll level you, man. It's hilarious. I don't think any of it will happen. I don't think any of this is ever going to take hold. All this Illuminati, and I think the Freemasons are going to fall flat on the face, to be honest with you. But, you know, there's people out there, you know, pushing this stuff, and, you know, you got the best minds going, making films about it and pushing it, and, you know, they're even knocking out cities in fucking Kazakhstan, you know, building up things there, and, you know, sending out all these trigger people out there. Nah, bollocks. They're going to take hold.
Well, it's got to be keep fighting the good fight, Napoleon.
Yeah.
Keep fighting the good fight, and if it's only, you know, to a small audience here on Fakeologists or Hoaxbusters, I haven't listened to them in a while. I don't know if you're still listening to Chris Kendall. Hopefully he's on board with this whole Vegas nonsense and calling it a hoax as it bloody well right is. It's a hoax. There's no doubt about it. There's no way this thing is real. Once I spoke to you a few days back, I went and watched a couple of actually YouTube videos where they've got someone with an actual cell phone camera. You can see the crisis actors go down. Everyone else is running away. So there are real people there, and they all run away from the stage. And you can see the ones that have been paid to stay down. But they're not worried, you know, that there's still gunshots going through the actual PA. The gunshots aren't even real. They're going through the PA, and they're already know that this is going to happen. So you can see that they're not bloody panicking, because they're not going to get shot. They know it.
Yeah.
Bullshit. They do in America. I don't know why they do it, but well, I do know why they do it. But I wish they stopped doing it. And it's coming up to 9:11 a.m. here in Australia. So what's the time there?
Well, obviously, it's 12, it's 10 minutes past 12, so, you know, we've got about another
9:11 a.m., yeah, which is my favorite number of all, obviously. And, yeah, Napoleon, you really have become part of the crew now, the Fakeologist crew.
I've always thought of myself as a Fakeologist, and it wasn't until I typed in on the computer JFK hoax, so it's out where my place was, and I'm glad I bumped into all these. It's been nice.
You bet. That's what it's all about. Have you got to go to work or?
Yeah, I'm going to go work in about. Well, no, I'm not going to go work. I'm going to go to bed in about 11 or 12 minutes. I just sort of sit here for the last couple of minutes. Yeah.
Give me that tune again that you wanted. What was the tune again?
It was One Night in Paris by Tenz Easy.
Let me just look that up. One Night in Paris. We'll go out with that. It was lovely to hear Tom again. I would love to him tinkle the ivories, but we didn't get that chance. One Time in Paris. Who sung this?
10cc.
Remember 10cc? But they sung, I Don't Like Cricket. Oh no, I love it.
Yeah, man. When you walk through my
I love the film clip to that too.
Yes.
Here we go. What is it? Un Nuit in Paris, 1975.
It goes for
8 minutes. All right.
It is a good one.
Let's see if we could get a good version of this.
And remember,
so all Fakeologists.
Come on in. Understand the French bits.
There we go. I'm listening.
Perfect.
All right.
I'll mute.
Should we go out with this?
Yeah.
Should we go out with this?
Go on, play it, and I'll mute.
All right. Here we go. Oh.
This is Maria Lakipa. I'm calling from Dubai, UAE, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.